Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Well, Kennedy, it's good to be here. It's been too long. Thank you for having me. I know I'm not allowed favorite locations, but if I were to have a favorite, you would be in my top five. Yeah, like definitely. You would definitely be in my top five. So good. Hey, before we get into the preaching of the word this morning, many of you would have heard about the recent atrocities that have happened in the nation of Sri Lanka, yeah? And we just thought it would be a great opportunity if we could, this morning, as the church, as the gathered church, pray for the nation of Sri Lanka and pray for these things that are happening in our world, in our time. You know, and we're the people of God, right? Where we have the authority of Christ. So we are positioned actually to pray and to believe for righteousness and justice on the earth. Amen. So do you have faith in your heart this morning? If we could just join together as I pray. Father God, we just lift up the nation of Sri Lanka into your hands, Father God. Father, we thank you that you love that nation. You love those people, Father God. Your heart is breaking, Father God, at what has happened where your Christians, people that are God-fearing, people that professed your name, Father God, have been senselessly taken, Father God. But we thank you that you're a God of justice, Father God. You're a God of mercy, Father God. Lord, you don't leave wickedness unpunished, Father God, but you love justice. You love mercy, Father God, and we just cry out, Father God, for your Holy Spirit, for your divine intervention to fall all over that nation, Father God. We pray for every affected family. We pray for every affected person, oh God, that you would be with them in their grief, Father God, that you would be with them in their distress, Father God, and out of the ashes you would bring some beauty, Father God. With man it is impossible to see any beauty, but with God, all things are possible. With you, all things are possible. Father, we cancel the plan of the enemy to bring retribution for revenge. Father God, we declare the word of God that vengeance is yours, Father God. We don't repay evil for evil, but we overcome evil with good in Jesus' name. And I pray your love would shine in darkness, Father God. Father God, and you would do a great work, that you would open doors for the gospel. That where Christianity is a minority in that nation, let it become a majority. Let it become a majority. Let it sweep across that land and all of the nations of the earth. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Who felt faith? So good. We are, you know, Nations Church. We've got to hold the nations in our heart, yeah? So good. Now, who's ready for the Word of God? I am preaching a word this morning that I have called the heart of the issue. The heart of the issue. And our key text this morning is probably one that you've heard before out of the book of Proverbs chapter 4. And it says this in verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It's a good one, isn't it? Who knows that life's got some issues? Put your hand up if you've got issues. Come on, be bold. My hand's up. I was the first one up. Come on, there's more of you. I can see your issues from here. But life's got issues. It doesn't matter who you are. Life has issues. You know, who's had some parenting issues on the school holidays? See, my hand's up again. Marital issues. I don't think there's anyone in Port Kennedy that's ever had a marital issue, have they? No. Emotional issues, my hands are staying up. Financial issues, you know, health issues. You know, the woman of the issue of blood. Poor woman, we don't even know her name. She's just known by her issue. You know, like, imagine if I was the woman with the marital issue. No, I'm Chrissy, thanks. We'll just leave my name. But, you know, like, life's got issues. And just when you think you've gotten over an issue, surprise, you got a new issue. Isn't that just the way life goes? And it actually doesn't matter who you are or what you do or how much wealth you have or how successful or otherwise you might be. You're going to find that life will throw you issues. There's no escaping issues. And so understanding this truth, I got to thinking that it's not so much the issues that we face that will define us. It's more our responses to the issues that we face that end up defining us. Not so much the issues that we face that define us, but more the responses to the issues that we face that define us. See, life's going to throw you things, you know, life's things that you didn't want, things that you didn't desire, things that you didn't plan for, and nonetheless, you've got to respond. Nonetheless, it's like someone throwing a basketball, an unsolicited basketball to you. You know, you have to respond, otherwise the thing's going to hit you in your face. You know, you have to respond, and that's sometimes like the issues of life. And successful people in the kingdom are not necessarily people that have never faced an issue. In fact, most of them have, a lot of them have, if you hear their story, you would understand that they've actually faced crazy issues, but they just figured out what it was to respond well in the face of those issues and still press forward in the things of God. So the goal is not so much to be free of issues, or if that is your goal, good luck to you. You know, the goal is not so much. The goal is more to learn what it is to respond well to all of life's issues. And there's different kinds of responses, isn't there? We can give all sorts of responses. You can yell and scream at the issue, you know, which also might be known as your husband or your children, you know, or your wife. You know, you can try and run away from the issue, escape the issue. You can reject God because of an issue. You can blame someone else because of the issue. You can ignore the issue and hope it'll go away. You can, you know, fall in a heap, fall in a depressive heap because of the issue. And they're all, you know, I guess legitimate responses. If you're anything like me, you've probably done all of those things at some time or another because of issues. But the problem with those sorts of responses, the problem is they don't lead you to a better version of you. They don't lead you to a place that is better, likely to get bitter, yeah? You know, they don't bring life. They don't have the power even to fix issues. If anything, they will perpetuate issues. And I don't know about you, but I want to be the sort of person that responds well. I want to be the sort of person that can remain in a place of joy, that cannot lose my contentment, that can keep a pure heart no matter what the issue might be. See, I might not be able to stop the issues. I might not be able to control the issues, but I can deal with myself in the midst of the issue. Amen?
Very good.
I don't want the issues of life to compromise my ability to push forward in faith. I don't want the issues of life to compromise my ability to push into the purposes of God. And if I've got any people who are with me this morning, anyone that can say amen to that, you know, so I want to get down to the heart of the issue. And we're going to center the rest of our time here together talking about the condition of our hearts, because this is what I believe, with all of my heart, this is what I believe. At the heart of every issue is the issue of our heart.
Wow.
At the heart of every issue is the issue of our heart. See, if having issues is not really the issue, you know, if it's the responses that we bring, if that response is really the issue, then we have to look carefully at our responses. We need to give careful attention to how we are responding to the issues around us, because all of life's responding comes from the
heart.
All of life's responding comes from the heart. See, our key text today comes out of the book of Proverbs, which is obviously the wisdom book. And it's so jam-packed full of practical wisdom and practical life instruction. And it says this in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, where our key text comes from. But now we're going to read the whole passage or paragraph that it's drawn out of. And it's Solomon writing. And Solomon, the scriptures tell us, was the wisest man who ever lived. And he says this, he says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and they are health to all their flesh." So Solomon's saying, you know, if you do as I say, If you keep these truths that I'm telling you deep in your heart and you actually live by them, they are going to impart life to you and they are going to impart health to you. That word health, it's like literal health. It's like physical health and even mental health, even soundness of mind. That's the health. And at that point, when the wisest man who ever lived said, son, listen, you know, if you do this, it's going to be life and health unto you. Don't you think we ought to listen? Don't you think we ought to kind of sit up and pay attention? Well, what is it? What is it that's going to bring me this life and this health? And he keeps on going and he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Or another version says, above all else, guard your heart. Everyone say, above all else. Above all else. All else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And then it goes on with more instruction. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. He's talking about our speech. Yeah. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Your eyelids look right before you. He's talking about our vision. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. He's talking about our direction. Do not turn to the left or to the right, remove your foot from evil. He's talking about decision making. Solomon is giving us a list, if you like. He's like, you want to know, you want it's going to be life and it's going to be health to you. It's going to be life, it's going to be mental health to you. It's going to be soundness of mind to you. This is what you need to do. You need to guard your heart, watch your speech, protect your vision, attend to your direction, and attend to your decision making. And it's so interesting to me that he mentions all these different elements, because isn't it true that these are the very elements that embody our response? You know, in life, when we're responding, these are the elements that come into play in real time. Our speech comes into play. Our vision comes into play. Our direction and decision making, they come into play. You know, when the issues of life hit, how are you going to speak? What are you going to say? What are you going to say about the issue? Are you going to speak words of faith? Are you going to speak words of fear? Are you going to speak words that repel others and are hostile to others? Or are you going to speak words that draw people in and maintain relationship? You know, when we face an issue in life, what's our vision going to be like? You know, what do we see? Can we see God in the issue? Do we see God as having authority over the issue? Do we see Christ in his victory reigning over the issue? Or we just see hopelessness? We just see impending doom? You know, when those issues hit, what about our direction? What about our decision making? What are we going to do? Are we going to run away from God? Are we going to repel others? Are we going to run away from others? Are we going to withdraw and isolate ourselves? Or are we going to run into the arms of our Abba Father? What are we going to do? Because all of these things, they actually embody our responding. They embody our responses. And who knows that these things can be totally toxic, causing damage to ourselves and causing damage to others. Or they can be freeing and they can be life-giving and they can be life and health, all depending on how we choose to respond. At this point, I think condemnation can set in, right? Because you think about the issues of your life and you're like, oh man, I haven't responded very well. You know, my speech has been terrible, you know. I've hurt people, I've said things that I wish I never said, I don't have any vision, I don't have any direction, I feel like giving up. I made bad choices, and you're just like, anybody honest enough to go, yeah, I'm feeling you. We start beating ourselves up, don't we? And we start going, okay, I've got to fix myself. And it's like, we get into behavior modification. I'll do a bit better here, and I've got to do a bit better here, but it's usually fruitless because behavior modification was not what Jesus died for. Jesus actually died for a heart transformation. He didn't die that we could polish up our behaviors. He died that he could transform our heart. And Solomon makes it abundantly clear to us in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 that all of the responses, that all of the speaking, that all of the vision, that all of the direction and the decision making, it all flows from our heart. It all flows from one focused center, the center of our heart. And that is why he said, above all else, above all else of your first importance, of your foremost importance, you got to guard your heart because all of your responding is going to flow forth from that place. Jesus fiercely condemned the Pharisees for not dealing with the state of their hearts. He understood and repeatedly taught about the importance of the heart. If you look at Jesus as he was through the gospel, if you read the red letters, he's talking constantly about the heart, that life's responses flow out of a man's heart. He says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And he showed great disdain for the Pharisees because they were behavior polishers. They liked the appearance of things. They liked looking like they had things together, but their hearts were a different kettle of fish, and they refused to actually go after and go for the condition of their heart. Jesus says this to the Pharisees in the book of Matthew, chapter 23. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish." It's like you're dealing with your behaviors all the time. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside, in your heart, you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first you need to clean the inside of the cup, and then the outside will be clean also. He said, just clean your heart. And as you clean your heart, it's going to have a spill-on effect. It's going to have a spillover effect. That as you get the heart right, so the life will be right also. It's a principle in God. Deal with our hearts. I recently had a dishwasher issue. Everyone had a white goods issue recently? White goods issues. Hallelujah. Well, now I've got a vacuum cleaner issue, actually. As of yesterday, I got a vacuum cleaner issue. Anyway, pray for my issues. I got issues. How about that song? Anyone under 20 that knows that song? I got issues. It's my favorite song. But I had a dishwasher issue. And the flow of water into my dishwasher was gross. And I spent, you know, the best part of a couple of weeks trying to troubleshoot this issue. And it was just gross. You know, you got that feral, slimy, greasy water that's not draining out of the bottom of your dishwasher. And I tried all sorts of things. I cleaned the basket. I downloaded the instruction manual and looked at the troubleshooting guide. And I put my finger into pipes. And yeah, and I was feral. Like, I was doing everything. Yes, I know. It's disgusting. I ran the special cleaning cycle. And sometimes a cycle would work, and I was like, yes, I've fixed it. And then I'd run a cycle again, and it would break again. And I was like, oh, man. And eventually we had to call out a repair guy because it was clear that my troubleshooting wasn't working. And he pulled the machine out, and he opened it up, and he got right into the heart of the machine. He went right into the center of this dishwasher, and he pulled out 10 lemon pips. 10 lemon, I blame Ken, because he has lemon water every morning. He has lemon water every morning, and I think he just thinks the pips will miraculously disappear if he puts them in the dishwasher. Don't worry, I've dealt with my unforgiveness issue. But sure enough, you know, the issue was in the heart. And I had been dealing with all these superficial things. I'd been dealing with the basket. I'd been dealing with the filters. But actually, the issue was in the heart. And as soon as we dealt with the heart of the issue, as soon as we dealt, the flow became pure. Wow. The flow became pure. As soon as we got out of the heart, what was compromising the heart, the flow became pure. And I know we're only talking about a dishwasher, but it's so the same. Yeah. It's so sort of the same, because when the heart is right, everything else sort of comes right. You know, so I want to spend the rest of the time we've got together saying, how do we actually deal with our heart? You know, what even is the heart, and how would we guard that? How would we keep it with all diligence? And we're obviously not talking about the organ. We're obviously not talking about that which pumps blood around our body. In fact, in Hebrew culture, They thought of the heart as the center of a person's being. They thought of the heart as the seat of all the mind and all the will and all the emotions. It was our thoughts, it was our thinking, it was our feeling, it was the true you, your true person, if you know what I mean. And that is obviously the thing we're supposed to be guarding. Now, some people think that guarding their heart means erecting like an impenetrable fortress around their heart. Some people think that guarding their heart looks a little bit like this. There you go. Yeah. I've guarded my heart. No one's coming in and no one is getting out, and that's the way I like it. Yeah. I want to suggest to you that maybe that's not a guarded heart. Maybe that's a hard heart. Yeah. Oh, we're getting real in here, aren't we? That heart is likely full of a lot of fear and a lot of hurt. And these walls have been put up in self-protection. They've been put up in self-defense. But what is protection to you is hostility to someone else.
Wow.
What is protection to you looks like hostility to someone else. And see, Jesus didn't die so that you could be your own protector and your own defender. He's the protector and defender of our hearts. So that's not what it is. That's not what it means. It's not what it means to guard your heart. The word keep your heart with all diligence, the word keep, oh, I feel the presence of God. The word keep is a Hebrew word, natsar. Natsar. It means to guard, to watch over. Part of the application of the word natsar was used in the context of watching over a vineyard. Like in a vineyard, like any other garden or crop, it has a certain vulnerability about it. You know, if you don't watch over it, enemies can come in. Pests can come in. Things that destroy can come in. Things can come in that are going to do harm, that are going to cause destruction. And obviously, on the opposite, things can come in that bring life. Things can come in will bring benefit. But there has to be a guard. There has to be a watching over to ensure that the things that are going to do harm are not allowed. And the things that are going to bring life, that they have a free flow, that they have a free passage. You know, if there's nobody that watches over the vineyard, if there's no keeping of that thing with all diligence, who knows? So over time, it's going to go to ruin. Over time, it's actually inevitable that pests will come in, that things that destroy will come in, and the fruit of the vineyard will be compromised. And it's actually such a great analogy for our hearts because, who knows, our hearts also have a vulnerability about them. You know, our hearts have this vulnerability and things can enter. Stuff can enter, like life happens, issues happen, things get thrown at us, stuff happens. And if we leave our heart to its own devices, eventually it's going to deteriorate. I've done a bit of gardening lately, which is not my thing. Hands up if you're a gardener. Woo, some enthusiastic hands flew up. God bless you. I don't like it. It takes a lot of work, doesn't it? It takes a fair bit of work. Oh, how I wish my garden was set and forget. Yeah. Do I have any loud amen, you know? Yeah. Don't you wish you could weed it one time and that is it? You never have to weed that thing ever again. That is the gardens in heaven. That is Eden, I'm sure of it. You know, left to their own devices, they go to ruin. Left to their own devices, they get better, they get worse, they don't get better. I've got stubborn things in my garden. I've got stubborn things that need constant attention, like the grass in my garden beds. Anyone know what I'm talking about? The grass in my garden bed needs, you know, I try and ignore it and hope it'll go away, but it doesn't go away. It gets worse. And what I've discovered is the longer I leave it, the harder it gets. The longer I leave it, the more entrenched, the deeper it goes. You know, sometimes I find things growing in my garden that surprise me. I'm like, hello, how did you get there? Like, actually, in real time, I am the proud garden mama of a guava tree. But I didn't plant it. No. I didn't ask for it. But I have it, and it's nearly as tall as my head, and it's bearing fruit. I have... Who grows guava? Well, apparently I do. But it has self-seeded from the neighbor's guava tree, and that's dropped fruit into my garden, and it's self-seeded. And you know, these things are funny, but they're so analogous of the conditions of our heart. Oh, I wish my heart was set and forget. You know, I weeded out grief one time. I never have to look at it again. Yeah. You know, I just dealt with that offense one time, and then it was done and dusted for the rest of my life. I never had to revisit anger. I never had to revisit rage. I never had to revisit unforgiveness. You know, don't we wish life were like that? But it's not the case, you know, because life keeps, issues happen. Issues happen. Stuff keeps on getting thrown at us. If we leave our hearts to their own devices, they tend to get worse and not better. You try and ignore things and hope that they'll go away. I just ignore that offense. And, you know, I just ignore the disappointment I felt. I just ignore that betrayal that I felt in that moment. But I always say that if you ignore things, if you sweep things under the carpet, you'll trip over them eventually, because they don't go away on their own. You've got to bring these things to God. You've got to bring them to God, and don't let them grow, because if you leave them in your heart, they'll grow like weeds. Before you know it, could be in over your head. You know, who is a bit of a bottler? Me, just me. Bit of a butler. You know, we've all bottled our emotions at one time or another. And I think it's funny because you start out stoic, you know.
Yeah.
I'll be the bigger person. You're all stoic, you know. Like, I'm a little bit hurt right now. I'm a little bit offended, but I'm the bigger person, you know. And then they do it again and whew, that was uncomfortable, but I'm in control, you know. I will deal with it, you know. I'm good. And then it happens again, and you're like, oh, things are getting really uncomfortable up in here, you know. Like, but and then you end up snapping at that person for the stupidest thing, like, you put the tomato sauce on the wrong shelf of the pantry. What is wrong with you, you know? You snap at them, don't you? Like, come on, let's get real. You snap at something stupid, but you know it's nothing to do with the tomato sauce, and it's everything to do with the undealt with hurt in the seat of your heart. And it affects the way we respond in life. It affects what comes out of our lives. You know, sometimes you can find those things growing in your heart that you didn't plant. You weren't conscious of planting, and they take you by surprise. You know, you find a guava tree of offense in your heart. You know, you find that, you know, forest of grief, and you're wading through it, and you're like, I don't remember, but still, it's there, and here you are, and you're growing, and you're fruitful in me, but you're not bearing good fruit. You're bearing things that are going to damage me and damage others, and you know, we got to get good at guarding our heart. We got to get good at, you know, even gardening our heart, even dealing with what's in there and being vigilant with those things that are going to cause us and cause others destruction. Because at the end of the day, all of our responding, all of the issues of life, according to Proverbs, are going to flow from that place. This is what we've got to remember. Jesus has the power to change our hearts. We just have to be diligent to bring our hearts.
Very good.
Don't matter who you are, don't matter what's going on, Jesus has the power to change your heart. We just have to be diligent to bring our heart. You know, he supernaturally died and he rose again to deal with the condition of the human heart. What we could never accomplish on our own, he can do. There's no brokenness in us that Jesus cannot fix. There is power in the blood of Jesus to break every chain. You know, his blood completely and utterly deals with the stain of sin and the corruption of sin. What does the scripture say? He washes us whiter than snow. He gives us a robe of righteousness that covers all the stain of our own stupidness and all the stain of our own stupidity. You are washed white by the blood of Jesus if you would bring yourself to him. You know, the scriptures tell us, Isaiah 53 tells us that he bore all of our griefs. And he bore all of our pain. And he bore all of our suffering. And Isaiah 61 tells us that the ministry of Jesus takes our ashes and instead gives us a crown of beauty. He gives us a joy for mourning, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You know, it is all available to us in Jesus. We just have to partner with the process and come. We just have to partner with the process and bring our heart. Bring an open heart. Bring a presentation of our heart. Lord, search my heart. And we don't just do it one time. It is not set and forget, but we come over and over and over and over again. We keep this open-hearted posture before God. You know, King David, in the scriptures, he lived an incredible life, but he also had a lot of issues. He had a lot of issues. He had parenting issues. He had leadership issues. He had personal issues. He had relationship issues. You know, he got hunted down by King Saul. He had major relationship issues. He had moral issues. But despite all of the issues that he had in his life, he exhibited this pattern of opening his heart up before God. He just demonstrated this pattern, and he did it when he knew he needed to, and he did it even if he didn't, you know, even if he didn't necessarily need to, he did it. There's a couple of examples that I've got from the Psalms, Psalm 51. He says this, and he prays this after his epic failure. His heart was compromised through his own stupidity, through his own mistakes. And he prays this. He prays, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. See, it wasn't so much the issue that was the issue. It was his response to the issue. What did he do with the issue? And he came to God, create in me a pure heart. Again, in Psalm 139, a different season in David's life. No obvious sin issue, no obvious failure or flaw or mistake. In fact, the reading of this psalm kind of suggests that he didn't even know he had issues going on at this time. But he says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought and see even if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, as far as I know, my heart's all good before you right now, but I'm opening it up anyway. Check it anyway, because I'm living with this open-hearted posture before God. And the scriptures say that David was a man after God's own heart. And I believe it was because of this, because he knew what it was to live open before God. The best way to guard our hearts is to live with our hearts wide open to the Lord. Every day of our life, to live with our heart wide open to the Lord. And when we come to God, we got to remember he gives us grace. Remember what he said to Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Sometimes we feel like it's all a bit too hard. We feel like it's all a bit too messy. We feel like, oh, if I open up my heart, I'm going to open up Pandora's box. You know, if I don't know what's in there. And we don't because of fear. But God gives us grace. And grace has been misrepresented. It's been underrepresented. Because, yes, it is saving grace. It's the grace that redeems your life. It's you have been saved by grace through faith. That's part of grace, that Jesus washed away the stain of our sin, but it's only part of the package when it comes to grace. Grace is also a force that empowers you. It empowers you for living. It just doesn't save you from death, but it empowers you for life. It's grace that helps you to change. It's grace that helps you do what ordinarily you couldn't do. It's grace that enables you and changes your heart and transforms your heart under grace. One of the definitions of grace, the Greek word charis, is this. It's long, but it's so powerful if we get a hold of it. It says, out of the merciful kindness by which God exerted his holy influence upon our soul. His influence upon our soul turns us to Christ, keeps us, strengthens us, increases us in Christian faith, increases us in knowledge. This is grace. Increases us in knowledge, increases us in affection, increases, kindles us to the exercise of Christian virtues. It's saying that God's influence, this grace influence on our hearts, helps us to live the life he wants us to live. You can summarize it this one: the divine influence upon the heart that reflects in your life. The divine influence in your heart that reflects in your life. God's influence in your heart that shows up in your life. This mysterious work of his Spirit deep inside of us that shows up in our life, the way we guard our hearts, the way we respond well to all of life's issues is by living every day completely open-hearted before God, coming to him again and again and again and asking for grace. God, give me grace. Come on, the band can come up and join me. I think that's why it says, you know, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. When you pray, pray like this. The Lord's Prayer, never let the Lord's Prayer lose its power in your life. Jesus says to you, son, Jesus says to you, daughter, when you pray, pray like this. Don't you let that be something that you just recited at primary school. Don't you let that be something that has no power. Jesus, when you pray, pray like this. And what I want you to do, I want you to start with, my Father, who art in heaven. What's it going to deal with? It's going to deal with your identity. It's going to deal with your identity. You can't say my Father without remembering that you're a daughter, you're a son. Who art in heaven. It's going to deal with sovereignty. You're going to remember who he is. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. It deals with the issues of authority. Let God be God and I am not. Let God be sovereign in this situation, not me. Let you come, not me. You know, it deals with all these heart things. Give me this day my daily bread. It deals with the issues of supply and not being afraid that I have no supply, that I'm going to be in lack. It's like, my Father, give me this day my daily bread. It's a posturing of divine supply. And on it goes. Forgive me my sins as I forgive those who trespass against me. I'm dealing with issues of purity. I'm keeping a short account before God as he's washing me, as he's reminding me the cleansing flow. And I'm releasing forgiveness. I'm releasing offense. I'm releasing those things that have hurt me. I'm releasing that built up pain. I'm releasing. The Lord's Prayer is, it's a heart guarding prayer. It's a heart guarding prayer. God has taught me what it's like to guard my heart. Guard my heart. Because I've been in seasons of my life where my speech has been rotten and my vision has been, I've had none. I felt directionless and I've not been making great decisions and all of my responding has been a bit meh. And God's taken me to the secret place of my heart and He's shown me the trees of offense there. He's shown me the grief. He's shown me the loss. He's shown me the disappointment that has been growing there unattended to, but has come out of me in different ways. It's come out of me in different particular ways. And sure enough, as I come and I get down and I'm just like, God, heal my heart. God, cleanse my heart. God, help me deal with this thing. Give me grace. Because God knows I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. Give me grace to take this thing out. And I've found in my own life that as my heart has come right, my life has also come right. It's so much easier to speak life-giving words when they're coming from a purity of a source. Come on, all over this place, stand to your feet. I know I've gone a bit over time, but I just felt the anointing of God on that. We're just going to change gears for just a minute. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, it would be my great privilege and pleasure to introduce you to Him. And even if you remember nothing else from today, I really want you to remember this, that God loves you. Jesus is God. Jesus is one part of the expression that is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He knows you. And He loves you so much. And He has made a way for us to be in relationship with God. He's made a way for us to not just have a religious experience, but have a living relationship with God. A living relationship where you can walk with Him and where He knows the deepest parts of your heart and He sees them and He loves you just the same. He loves you just the same. There's no judgment in His presence. Everything's laid bare before the Lord. Everything's laid bare before God. He can see it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and yet He never rejects us. The Bible says He doesn't reject you. He will receive you. Even though mother and father might reject you, the Lord will receive you. That's straight out of the Bible. Straight out of the Bible. He loves you. The way we enter into this relationship with God is by opening our heart to what Jesus did. By saying, I believe that God, You sent Jesus from heaven, that He is God, that He died on the cross, but He didn't stay dead. He rose again. And by receiving the finished work of Jesus' cross into your life and your heart, saying, I believe it and I want to receive it. I want to open up my heart to it. That's how you become a follower of Jesus. That's how you come into relationship with God. It's a faith thing. It's a belief thing. And there might be some people here this morning and you've never prayed a prayer to invite Jesus into your life. You've never done that. But you're standing here this morning and saying, I do believe and I want to receive Him. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to invite Him into my heart. If He can sort the mess of my heart out, then I'm keen. I'm in. All over this place, with every eye closed and every heart open. If that's you this morning, if I'm speaking right to you this morning, can you just put your hand up and I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make a spectacle. I just need to know. Yeah, I see that hand. That's incredible. I just need to know who I'm praying for here this morning. Anybody else going to join this gentleman? All over this place. He loves you so much. Don't let this moment pass you by. What are you afraid of? What are you waiting for? It's only going to get better under the banner of the love of God for your life. Okay, I don't see any other hands. Come on, let's join with this gentleman. I'm going to pray a line and you're going to repeat after me. Come on. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You that He died. We thank you that he rose again so that I could have life, so that I could be forgiven, so that I could be set free. And I pray right now that you come into my life, change my heart, make me new, make me whole. I want to walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, everyone said, can we praise God? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.